The topic for this morning's prayer, as you can see, is dangerous and transformative prayer. And prayer is something that I have both extensive and extremely limited experience with. Both extensive and extremely limited. Extensive in the sense that I have prayed. I have prayed standing up. I have prayed sitting down. I have prayed on my knees. I have prayed on my belly with my face in the dirt. I've prayed with my hands in the air, with my hands clasped in my pockets on the steering wheel. I've prayed. I have prayed with tears streaming down my face. I've prayed while laughing. I've prayed and honestly felt nothing. And I've prayed and possibly felt everything. I've prayed. I've prayed as a son. I've prayed as a brother and as a husband and as a father. And if you've prayed as a father, that means you know you've prayed for aunts and uncles and grandpa and grammy and grampy. And you know what? I've prayed for Anna and Elsa. I've prayed for Lightning McQueen. I've prayed for Mater. I've prayed. So in that sense, I have experience. But in so many other ways, I'm so limited. I've never studied prayer theologically. I haven't studied it sociologically. I have, you know, I'm ashamed to admit, probably told someone, looked them in the eye and said, I'll pray for you, and not lived up to that promise. There are too many mornings where I've woken up and I haven't started my day in prayer. Too many evenings where I've gone to bed and haven't ended my day in prayer. Too many trials that I've faced and I haven't asked God to help me or assist me. Too many times that I've been blessed by what He's given me and I haven't been thankful enough. So I am very limited when it comes to prayer. But it really is a small sign that is placed at the camp meeting where I heard this message preached that kind of still drives me, given my limited experience, to talk about this morning. And that small sign simply says, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And that is a fundamental and core value of my faith. And so this morning I want to explore this concept of prayer and dangerous and transformative prayer. So let's get into it a little bit. Let's check out our scripture reference here. It can be found on the screen, or if you want to turn to it on page 619 in your Bible. It seems appropriate this morning when discussing prayer that we turn to the book of Psalm. And in Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24, David prays, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Our goal this morning is to take this passage and to divide it into four separate prayers. And as we divide them into four separate prayers, we want to pose the two questions to each of them, the same questions. Why is this prayer dangerous? And how is this prayer transformative? So let's get started here with prayer number one. Search me, God, and know my heart. I summarize the danger of this prayer in this way. You can see it up here on the screen. It is countercultural to allow someone else to control the narrative of how we present ourselves. It is countercultural to allow someone else to control the narrative of ourselves. We are most comfortable when we get to control what aspects of our lives we share with others, what parts of our heart we share with others, and what parts of our heart we choose to hide. I think a great example of how we enjoy or how we like to control these aspects of our lives comes from the ever-growing world of social media. When engaging with our community or our larger society, we have the choice to post the comments that we selectively choose, like or retweet comments made by others that we support, and of course, post the images and the pictures that best represent how we want to show ourselves. And, you know, I think a good example of this, I have a picture on the screen of just a random family. I think if you just Google awesome people or something, you can get a picture just like this one. But check them out here. You know, as we examine this image, you got the beautiful wife. You got the well-behaved, smiling children. You have the husband. I still don't know how he fits in. All right, but they're all there. And we have the choice to present that image. But check out the next photo. In the next photo, that baby's halfway to picking her nose. All right. The boy is ready to run. The dad's laughing, but if I'm guessing, he's probably thinking, we have one more shot and then we've lost control. One more shot. And, you know, I could have gone on to show you more and more images. Because with the digital media today, we take so many pictures. I could have shown you so many pictures of a lack of control of this moment. We just deleted them. All right, we just delete them. And I have to admit that even in today's society, when we think that we have complete control, when we think that we've got the perfect photo, the unexpected can happen. Take a look at the next picture. Right there. Right when you think you have everything in line, the church drummer photo bombs you. Thank you, Caleb. Appreciate that. Whether we show the picture where everyone is smiling, or the picture where we are beginning to lose control, or we only post positive messages or like inspirational quotes, we get to control that narrative. To ask God to search us and know our hearts is an invitation to vulnerability. Don't pray this prayer and expect to remain in complete control of how you view yourself. God knows us so intimately that He is bound to be able to show us parts of our hearts that we don't quite understand. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Don't pray it unless you're prepared to see a narrative of your identity that you have not crafted. It is ultimately, however, this same intimate knowledge that makes this prayer dangerous, that also makes it incredibly powerful. How is this prayer transformative? As you can see up here on the screen, the experience of allowing an inspection creates intimacy, removes our heaviest burdens, and embraces the grace of God. And certainly do not miss the degree of intimacy that's present in Psalm 139. If you take a moment and you look back to the early verses, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. That is such a high degree of intimacy. God knows you, and He will show you your heart. And that is not dangerous, but can ultimately be freeing. One commentary that I looked at phrased it in this way: if we have rightly conceived our relation to God, that infinite lover of all our hearts, who looks with other eyes than our own and makes allowance for us all, there will be a certain blessedness, almost like joy, in turning ourselves out before Him. A joy in feeling that every corner of our hearts lies naked and opened unto the eyes of Him. Search me, O God, is a confident prayer. Confident that the one who we are asking to search us is going to do so in love. If you are looking to be transformed by the loving grace of God, then pray this prayer. Search me, God, and know my heart. Now, let's say that we commit to this prayer. What's the next step? And this is where we want to take a look today at prayer number two. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I'll be honest with you here this morning. I like tests. I like tests that I'm good at. I think that's more accurate. I like tests where I succeed. It makes me feel good. All right, so I thought that we could just take a moment here this morning and we're going to take a test. I have a question for this group. It's easy. Promise. 4 times 4. 16. Very good. For this group. 100 divided by 5. 20. Outstanding. For this group. I'd like you to take a look at the screen. Three? You know what? You can say three. I have no idea what the answer is. I was not. And I do think that we have a couple students over here who may have taken calculus. And I know it's a calculus question because I Googled calculus problem. All right. So maybe you guys can figure that out. All right, but I don't know the answer. But I can tell you, if you ask me this question today, the end result is I'm not going to feel good. Okay, I'm not going to feel good. And unfortunately, test me and know my anxious thoughts is dangerous. It may not result immediately in us feeling good. Test me. The danger here in test me and know my anxious thoughts. We are asking in this moment to be refined by fire. Now, this fire may come in a form of trials and tribulations. Now, I do not know or comprehend how God might answer this prayer for someone. I'm not going to stand here and say that. But I do know that tests are opportunities for us to prove ourselves. Trials and tribulations come in different forms. For some of us, we've lost loved ones far too early. We've had close relationships torn apart by sin. Our families and friends have dealt with issues of abuse and addiction. And at times, we've struggled to even love each other. Now, I am not making the claim here that all of these trials and tribulations come from God as a result of this prayer. I'm not confident in that. But our faith will be tested in this world. Our faith will be tested in this world. And if we can pass those tests, if we can face that danger, then we will be transformed. Test me, God, and know my anxious thoughts. How is this prayer transformative? These tests ultimately will prove the genuineness of your faith. As you can see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Our ability to maintain our faith in the face of these tests is glorifying to God. I want to be honest with you here this morning. As I was working on this prayer, I remember I was sitting at our kitchen counter. And as I'm doing a little bit of research and reading over it in the Bible and thinking about what this prayer means, it was too dangerous for me. I became scared. I didn't want to pray it. I started to think about what those tests and what those trials and what those tribulations might be. And I couldn't do it. On the other hand, as I was working on it, I started thinking about the other aspect of this prayer. A faith that has been so refined by fire that it comes out without imperfection, without impurity. And I wanted that. And I wanted that. So it is difficult and it is tough. And it takes time to comprehend. But what I do recognize is how the strength of a faith that has been tested is a powerful contribution to the kingdom of Christ. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Let's go ahead and explore prayer number 3. See if there is any offensive way in me. Why is this prayer dangerous? All right, this prayer is ultimately dangerous because we may not be aware of the sin that is holding us back from becoming like Christ. Don't pray this prayer if you are not prepared to change your habits. Now, fundamentally, this is a prayer of self-discovery. It is not an arrogant prayer. David isn't saying here, you know, God, I really think that I figured it all out. But if there's anything left, feel free to let me know. Feel free to let me know. David acknowledges his inherent weaknesses. He acknowledges that he's fallen. He acknowledges that there may be an offensive way in him that he doesn't even know about. So God, see if it's there. Show it to me so that I may become more like you. This is a prayer of recognition. This prayer is very dangerous for the person who wants to maintain the status quo. But if our goal and our desire is to become more like Christ, then this prayer can be transformative. And the good news is that no matter what God finds that is offensive, we are not asked to overcome this issue by ourselves. God is not in what I'll call the gotcha business. All right. To illustrate this, I work across the hall from my brother, and we have a member in our department who is awesome. She seems to read and research at a prolific rate. The activities and projects are outstanding. You walk into a room, it's neat, it's orderly, it smells of lavender, there's like a cup of coffee brewing. It's just perfect in every way. And that is annoying. It's annoying. And so, in a way, I found myself kind of waiting for a mistake. Waiting for a mistake. And this is a small, small mistake. But like many of you, email has become such a dominant part of my job. And I receive all kinds of emails, many of which have nothing to do with me. Emails to the entire faculty, emails to the entire staff. I open them, I read them, I delete them. I open them, read them, make sure it's not for me, delete them. And that is also annoying. So one of the rules, maybe it's just my rule, maybe other people don't have it, is that when you get an email, and it does pertain to you, but it doesn't pertain to the vast majority of people in the building, you do not hit reply all. Because that just gives me another email that I have to open, check, and delete. You do not hit reply all. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm in my room. I open up this email. I open up the next email. And she did it. She hit reply all. And I'm not kidding. I ran across the hallway to my brother and I yelled, "She made a mistake. Mark it down. She made a mistake." I was in, and it was so small. It's more of a pet peeve than a mistake. but I was in the gotcha business, just waiting to point out a fault. And really, it was more humorous than anything else. We've talked about it. We joked about it with her. But I was waiting for that mistake. And that is not the business that God is in. He's not out to get us, to catch us in our mistakes. He's in the business of transforming us. He's seeking individuals willing to have their offensive ways explored and with his help made pure. Friends, we all have deeply lodged issues within us, everybody. And we don't always know that we have them. But if we will turn ourselves to him, he will aid us. God will prevent our own condemnation by increasing the sensitivity of our conscience. He will teach us what ways are harmful, and in the end result will be a transformed, more Christ-like life that will enable us to be led in the way everlasting. So let's check out this final prayer. Lead me in the way everlasting. When examining this prayer, it is important to consider what it is meant by the way everlasting. The way of the world is fraught with sin, but the way everlasting is marked by the footsteps of Jesus Christ. If we are to be led in the way everlasting, we must leave behind the way of the world. And this is the danger for so many of us. We are so incredibly drawn to the way of the world. Do not pray the prayer if you are not willing to live a Christ-like life that is different from the way of the world. And I know personally, for me, that is a constant struggle. A constant struggle. It reminds me of the story in Matthew 19, right? Chapter 16, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, for many of you. It's the story of the rich young ruler. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The young ruler was curious about the way everlasting. He wanted to know about the path. He wanted to know about the destination. But when it came time to give up what it was going to require, he couldn't commit. This is a dangerous prayer if you're not ready to commit to the life that is being asked of you. It is difficult. Of course, like all prayers that we have talked about this morning, it is also the fact that it is difficult that makes it so potentially transformative. This is a transformative prayer in the way that the way everlasting is a holy, beautiful, sanctified path and destination. You know, as I was thinking about the difficult nature of walking on this path, the difficult nature of giving up what is necessary to be led in the way everlasting, a famous speech in American history kind of popped into my head. And in 1962, President Kennedy gave a speech at Rice University to encourage support for the space program. Contextually, the United States is in the midst of the Cold War with the Soviet Union. 5 years earlier, the Soviets had launched a satellite into space. The space had become a frontier for the Cold War to be fought. And I'll be honest with you, the background, the context, space has nothing to do with the connection that I see, nor does it have anything to do with why this speech popped into my head. It was really the language of what Kennedy said in that moment that connected with me. Kennedy was speaking about a task that seemed impossible. He's pledging to put a man on the moon. It seemed impossible. Yet he wanted to present that challenge. In that speech, Kennedy says, "We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon and other things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept. One we are unwilling to postpone. And one we intend to win." It's not about space, but think about this for a second. The challenge of being led in the way everlasting. When you pray this prayer, do not do it because it is easy, but because it is hard. Because walking along a holy and sanctified path will reflect your best energy and skill and be glorifying to God. We need to accept this challenge by praying this prayer now rather than later, with the determination to win, to live a holy, beautifully sanctified life. So here we are at the end, four dangerous and transformative prayers. All right, let's check them out one more time. Up here on the screen, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So what's the application? What's the takeaway? Here are just my suggestions this morning. Number one, memorize them and repeat them. Memorize them and repeat them. And pray for understanding. Be sure that you're confident in what you are asking God to do. And then listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. And ultimately, be transformed. As I said at the beginning of the message, my desire to discuss this topic this morning comes from a fundamental belief that prayer changes things. Please consider these prayers. If you decide to pray them, do so expectantly. That God will work in your hearts, and God will work in the heart of this church body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've filled your scriptures with challenging and sometimes dangerous prayers. But God, I just pray this morning that we walk away here not thinking about that danger, but thinking about the transformation. Thinking about the way in which such great and positive things can come from these prayers. Search us, God. Know the hearts of this church. Refine our faith to be a true and genuine faith. Search us to see if there's an offensive way among us. And God, help us to just embrace the walk along a truly holy and sanctified path. Send us out, God, with these prayers in your name. Amen.
Thank you for a dangerous and transformative word this morning. Really appreciate what the Lord laid on your heart to bring to us this morning. And I just want to close up our time together today. I felt impressed this morning and listening to Wayne's message that the Lord gave him this morning. I just want to kind of end our time, not by giving another sermon, because we have a picnic to get to, right? But I do want to address something, and I think Wayne has already addressed it in many ways for us. And over the last couple weeks, I have heard people mention a particular word among our church, and that word is discouragement. That there are many of us, however many number that may be, that we are feeling discouraged for many different things. In light of Wayne's teaching this morning, in light of the full counsel of Scripture, I would like to just encourage you this morning that don't focus on those feelings of discouragement that you may have. Ask, why am I feeling discouraged? Why are we feeling discouraged? Because what I believe personally, what my conviction is that what we are calling discouragement is actually the Lord taking us deeper as a church. And what that means for us when we pray dangerous and transformative prayers, what God begins to do, and don't think of it just on an individual basis, that's part of it, but think of it on a communal basis. What God is doing when we pray those dangerous and transformative prayers is like an onion. He begins to peel back layers. He begins to peel back layers. And when we come up against what's lying underneath, it doesn't always feel good. And we may couch it in language of discouragement, but take heart. Because God, I believe, is taking us deeper and transforming us and setting us up for growth. Whatever. I'm not talking about growth in numbers. If God wants to do that, He'll do that. But we need to remember this. The missional church is the deep church. The deep church is the missional church. So what we are praying for, as we pray, keep that in mind. If you're feeling discouragement, take that to the Lord and ask Him, God, why am I feeling discouraged? Because as God brings in grace, sometimes it's hard. Because when God floods us with grace, that means there's a transition away from something else. And sometimes we don't always have words and understanding to recognize what's going on in the midst of that. So for our benediction today, I'm going to change it. If we could go back to the scripture that Wayne used. Let's stand together and let us in hope pray this dangerous and transformative prayer together as the community of saints in Christ Jesus. Let's pray this together. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Go in peace, and let's fellowship.